Every one of us has got spiritual glasses. The way that we look at the world, the way that we interpret the world. You know, if you had a dad that was never at home, if you had a dad that abused you, whenever God says that he is a dad, that is the way that you will look at God. You know, you put on glasses. You look at the world through glasses. Okay, I need to take it off quickly. Bye, donkey. Now, this morning, before we start, we need to put on the right glasses. You know, whenever God speaks of the law, it is not there to spoil your fun. Whenever God gives a commandment, it is not there to be a party pooper. The law is there to protect you. The law is there so that you can get the most out of life. The Bible clearly states that, you know, we shouldn't have sex outside of marriage. Because it takes two people to raise a child. And if only one has to raise a child, that is nach. So the law is not there to spoil your fun. When God says don't be drunk with wine, it is not there to spoil your fun. But it's so that you can be sober and make the right decisions. Okay, so the law is not there to spoil your fun. The law is there to protect you, to allow you to get the most out of life. Okay? So that everybody put on those glasses. I want to start with virtually the last slide on my list. So, ouens, julle kan na die agterste kant toe gaan van die PowerPoint. Matthew 5, verse 17 to 20. Jesus speaking here. Do not think that I come to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, until heaven and earth passes away, one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away from the law till it is fulfilled. Verse 20. For I say to you, that until your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, this is scary. The Pharisees and the scribes devoted their whole lives, their day existed of obeying God's word, obeying God's law. They did everything to a T, literally, as the Bible says, to a dot. They say a jot or a tittle. It means the law will be completed to the last very dot on that page. And that is what the Pharisees and the scribes lived for. They boasted, I pray 5 times a day. They boasted that, you know, I've never disobeyed the law in any sense. And the scary thing is that our righteousness needs to exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, who did nothing wrong. But that is where God's grace comes in. Our righteousness depends on Jesus Christ, on the grace of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ does not only wash away your sin, but through his grace, he gives you the power to not do the sin again. We cannot continue on living in sin and then think God is going to bless us. God has given you the power to rule over that sin. We need to get our house in order. God has given us the ability to put down the Boroki JMB. God has given us the ability to stop sleeping around. God has given us the ability to stop being a victim to our own sin, but rule over our own sin. As he said to Cain, you know, the devil is at the door. His desire is for you, but you should rule over it. We should rule over our sin and not be a victim of our sin. So that is where we're starting this morning. Romans 12, from verse 1 to 2. I love morning intercessions. This morning, one of the band members actually prayed my opening verse. This should have been, or would have been, my opening verse. So come and join us 8 o'clock on Sunday mornings and pray with us. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is our reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may present that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Our reasonable service, not our exceeding service, our reasonable, our average service, is to give our bodies as a living sacrifice. Now, when it speaks about bodies, it speaks about your all. You know, this is the one thing that you will never be able to go without. This is the one, this is the you only have one body. Give your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable. If you take a look at that word holy, it literally means to be put aside, to be sanctified. You know that when you looked at the tabernacle or the temple later on, everything that was in the temple, everything that was used in the tabernacle was sanctified. It was put aside for God's use exclusively. If a shovel was used in the temple, it could not be used outside. If a mug, kopi, beker, was used inside the temple, it could not be used outside. Everything in the temple was for God's use exclusively. You are for God's use exclusively. Whether it's at school, whether it's at work, whether it's, doesn't matter where you go or what you do, you are there for God's purposes. And we start off by being a good example. You know, if you say that you're a godly man, and but you are late every day at work, people are going to have zero respect for you. We need to get our house in order. If you say that you are a godly woman, but you don't look after your children, or you don't, you know, look after your house, the example that you are portraying is that you don't care. Holy means to be put aside. That everything we do it for Christ. 2 weeks ago, we spoke about just the church should be a Jesus-centered church. That everything we do, everything should be Jesus-focused. And that is the truth in our lives as well. That whether we drive, the way that we obey the traffic rules should say that we're Christians. The way that we treat the lady at the counter when the computer goes down should say that we're Christian. The way that we stand in the queue to go buy electricity when everybody else in front of me wants to buy lotto tickets, that should also say that I'm a Christian. Everything we do should say that we are Christian. And if it doesn't, we need to get our house in order. You know, the world speaks about, you know, having to, you know, you should be tolerant. Tolerant to this faction and tolerant to that faction and tolerant and tolerant. But when you say that you're a Christian, there's zero tolerance. There's not, yeah, he's Christian, but he's also a man. No. Look at what Christians are doing. There's zero tolerance for us. And you know what? Why should there be? God empowers us to live lives that doesn't need tolerance. God's grace doesn't only wipe away our sins, but it gives us the power to rule over our sins, over our shortcomings. The next word, acceptable. Our body should be holy and acceptable. We are a temple of God. God is light. If there's light, there can be no darkness. And where there's darkness, light's not welcome. Many times we tolerate these little sins. You know, praying the lotto, or gossiping, or whatever it should be. You know that if you allow, tolerate those little sins, the Holy Spirit is not welcome. The Holy Spirit can't work with his sin. Well, he can. But we need to make our bodies acceptable. We need to allow the Holy Spirit to come in and work and change and set us free instead of being tolerant to the little sins. instead of allowing the little sins, make ourselves acceptable. 1 John 1:5. I'm going to read the start in the middle of verse 5. God is light, and in him is darkness. Can you hear me? Fine. Okay. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. Do we walk in darkness? And when I say walk, I literally mean your life, your decisions, your mind, your heart, your actions. Is that light or is that darkness? If we allow darkness, then we chase away light. You know, we have to choose between God and the world. We have to choose between light and darkness. We cannot, you know, just like you cannot have two wives, you cannot have the world and God. Just like you can't please two bosses, you cannot allow light and darkness. We need to choose. And if we don't choose, guess what's going to happen? The darkness is going to take over. God is light, and in him is no darkness. If you think of yourself, your daily walk, the decisions you make, the dreams you dream, the actions you have, does that tell people around you that you are light or that you are darkness? What does it tell you about yourself? If you constantly dream about winning the lotto, or you constantly dream about, you know, when I was a child, I would plan a bank robbery. You know, I'm going to buy my game farm. I just need to get the right bank with the big, lazy security guard. And then, that's a joke, but that's darkness. Or we plan how we are going to get success if we can only step on this one boss that we need to get past. Your walk, your daily life, that which you do, that which you dream about, that which you think about, is that light or is that darkness? Can I cut a mic, Ray? Okay, is this one working better? Sounds like it. So your mind, your dreams, your actions, your heart, is that light or is that darkness? Verse 7 of John 1 John 1. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all our sins. I read it, and only last night when I went through the sermon, by the way, I literally took about 2 months to prepare the sermon, but every time I wanted to give it, something else came in his way. So only last night when I read about this, I actually saw this. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, statement, we have fellowship with one another. If we walk in the light as Jesus is in the light, there's fruit in our lives. What is that fruit? Fellowship with one another. A while back, we had one of the pastor summits, and they just spoke about the challenges that we're going to have to leadership. And just by the way, Fred just mentioned that if we want to choose a leader, we have to make sure that that person has got friends. And I was, why? This is why. If we walk in the light as God is in the light, as Jesus is in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. You know, what is the thing that prevents fellowship? Jealousy? Greed? Envy? Unforgiveness? Pride? If we walk in the light, there's no wall. There's nothing that can prevent us from having fellowship, from having relationship with people around us. Selfishness. It's one of the stumbling blocks. So if you want to see whether somebody serves Jesus or not, look at his friends. Look at the people around him. If he's a loner, there's challenges. If we walk in the light, we will have fellowship with one another. Interesting thing is, it says the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us. Not just covers our sin, not just hides our sin, but it cleanses, it takes away. Last night we were, yesterday afternoon, we were trying to clean the house, you know, with three little ones. It's quite a challenge. And in our living room, there's this blue plastic table full of tomato sauce and crumbs and pieces of spaghetti. And I asked Daniel, which is 5, to come and just bring a cloth and quickly wipe the table. And he would take the cloth and he would wipe the table. And then he'll take the cloth away and the table would look even worse. And he'll take the cloth and he'll wipe some more and the mess will just be bigger. And then we'll go get another cloth. Jesus' blood takes away, not just spreads the stain, not just makes a bigger mess, but it takes away, it cleanses us from our sins. It takes away our sins. Jesus is enough for our sins to be taken away. But now, I wanted to focus on the battlefield. Where is this war raging? Where is this war happening? You know, we want to serve God, but we struggle. We can't. But then we want to serve God, but then, you know, the lusts of the flesh, the pride, the greed, the anger gets its way. Philippians 4 verse 9. Paul speaking to the church in Philippians. These things which I've learned and which you've learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You can actually go to the next slide. Voila. That is our battlefield. The things which you've learned from me, speaking about our minds. The things which you've received from me, speaking about our hearts. The things which you've heard from me, speaking about our ears. And the things which you've saw, our eyes. That is our battlefield. That is our challenge. What is happening in our minds? What is happening in our hearts? What we allow to come in to our minds and to our hearts through our eyes and through our ears. That is our challenge. What will happen if you spend 10 hours a week watching TV? And you will spend 1 hour, 2 hours a week coming to church. What will have dominance in your life? The 10 hours or the 2 hours? Okay, that makes sense. If you want to have a vegetable garden and you take blackjack seeds and you put it all over the ground, what is going to come up? If it rains, blackjacks. Then why do we not understand it in our spiritual lives? If we put cabbage seed in the ground, cabbages will come up. If we take our money and we invest it into an account, the money will grow. If we take our money and we waste it, nothing will be left over. But why do we not understand it in our spiritual lives? That the place that we invest, the stuff that we use our time with, that is what will prosper. I'm not saying TV is all bad. Most of it is, but not all of it. But you cannot think that you are going to be a solid Christian man if you watch all these X-rated movies. But you come to church. You know, that makes up for everything. No, it doesn't. That where you spend your time, that which you invest, that is what's going to happen. What we allow in our minds, what we allow in our hearts, what we allow ourselves to look at, what we allow ourselves to hear, that is where we're going. I told this story before, but when I was still in Pretoria, I loved 702, the radio station. And I traveled about 45 k's from where we stayed to where the church was. And that's a good almost an hour of listening to 702. But then I caught myself, when I get to the office, I would be aggro. You know, I would just be rubbed the wrong way. And then I needed a knock against the head before I realized, but if I listen to an hour of people complaining, people telling how bad the government is, people telling about the potholes, people telling about the water, people telling about the 702 program, a complaining radio station, then what's going to happen in my life? That's all I'm going to see. I will look at the potholes instead of looking at the whole highway that doesn't have a pothole. The one day that our power will go off, I will say, yeah, look at Eskom. Instead of thinking the 364 days that we had electricity. What we put into our heads, what we put into our hearts, that is what will happen. What will happen if we put the word into our heads, the word into our hearts? When we look at the word, when we listen to the word, our lives will go to where the word tells us to go. Instead of allowing the world to tell us where we need to go. Tell the person next to you, keep the focus. Colossians 3, verse 1 to 3. Since then you've been raised with Christ. Set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. Verse 3, listen to this one. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You have died. Your will, your dreams, your pride, your having to look good, your having to please people has died. And now, what is in this place? God's will, God's dreams, God's purposes, which is much better than we can ever come up with. The law's not there to push us down. The law is there to lift us up far beyond our own expectations. God's dreams are so much bigger than you can ever dream. God's purposes are so much more worthy than your purposes would ever be. We have died, but set your heart on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. We've got the decision. Are we going to keep our minds busy with the world and the things of this world? Are we going to allow the world and things of this world to come into our hearts? I used to love rugby. Really love rugby. I wouldn't miss a game. I played until I got re-saved. But now I don't even have a TV. I can't even watch the games. I like to find out what happened and stuff. But where it was a passion, it is now just nice to know. And that's not natural for me anyway. But that is what happens when we allow God's plans, God's purposes, into our heads and into our hearts. I would much rather spend time with Christian friends than to go to a rugby game with no Christian friends. Okay, but we're still preparing. Hearts, minds, eyes, ears. And here's another one. Proverbs 4, verse 23 to 26. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. Put away from you deceitful mouth, and put perverse lips far from you. Another area where the battle is raging, our mouths. So, we've got five now. Our hearts, our minds, our eyes, our ears, and our lips. Let's quickly take a look at one of them, well, each of them one by one. Okay, firstly, keep your heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23, as we just read. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it springs the issues of life. God expects us to take care of what is happening in our hearts. God expects of us to take care of what is happening in our hearts. Anger, jealousy. We are not supposed to allow that to take root in our hearts. We are supposed to put a guard in front of our hearts and only allow God in. But as soon as we allow something else into our hearts, that is going to be a whole nother battle. Trying to get something out. So in the first place, just put a guard in front of your heart and make sure what you allow in. The dreams you dream. Dreaming about winning the lotto. Don't go there. That money is cursed. Dreaming about, you know, breaking the speed limit with your new Ferrari. Whatever dreams you have, put a guard in front of your heart. Matthew 6. We've heard this many times this year for part of the offering, but I want us to listen just to it again. Matthew 6, verse 19. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth or rust destroys, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21. For where your treasure is, there also your heart will be. Where is your treasure? What is the one thing that makes you excited? What is the one thing that you can dream about? What is your treasure? Tell the person next to you, is she nog gefokus? Number two. Guard your tongue. Let's read Psalm 37, verse 30. The mouth of the righteous speaks wisdom, and his tongue talks of justice. Proverbs 18, verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Once again, you can choose. What do you want to put into the ground? Life or death? If you constantly speak death, you will by no means reap life. You won't have a harvest of life. You will have a harvest of death. But that is your choice. If you constantly speak about, I'm working myself to death, guess what? You're going to die because of your work. If you constantly speak about, you know, unrighteous boss, guess what you're going to reap? An unrighteous boss. But on the other hand, if you speak life, wives, tell your husbands that they are pretty, and guess what? They will be to you. What we say manifests. You know that we are made in God's image? Obviously, the Bible says so. How did God create everything? By speaking. We've got power when we speak. When we command a demon to go, he goes. When we command a body to be healed, it will be healed. When we command our boss to be ungodly, when we speak life, we will sow life. If we speak death, we will sow death. Your choice. Are you going to continue speaking death? Are you going to continue to tell everybody how corrupt our government is? I wonder how much comes from Christians saying that our government is corrupt and how much comes from people's own desires to steal. We create when we speak. What are you creating? Number three, guard your eyes. I've got a whole bunch of scriptures, but let's just go to Psalm 101, verse 3 and 4. King David saying here, I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. David's biggest downfall ever was because he opened his eyes to a lady that was bathing on the roof. Because he opened his eyes, because he allowed himself to look. Because he allowed himself to look. He raped her. He killed her husband. She was pregnant and the baby died. Because he allowed himself to look. What do you allow yourself to look at? I remember when I was also still in Pretoria, when we were just planting the Joburg Church, I would go through to Johannesburg at least once a week. And on William Nicol, there was a billboard of one of these shaky restaurants. They called themselves a restaurant. It wasn't a restaurant. But I remembered how I need to just look straight at the number plate in the car in front of me. Because, yeah, anyway, what are you allowing yourself to look at? Do you look at other people's cars with the desire? Do you look at women? Do you allow yourself to look at pornography? What do you open your eyes for? Once again, a couple of years ago, I watched a DVD clip of Ted Bundy. Now, Ted Bundy was one of the most famous serial killers in America. He was convicted, I think, for something like 13 murders, but he himself said, there's much more, I just can't remember where he buried everybody. And his downhill slope began with pornography. He opened his eyes to stuff, and then looking wasn't good enough, and then acting wasn't good enough. And he became a serial killer that killed so many women that he can't even remember. And it all started with him opening his eyes. What are you opening your eyes to? Our minds, number four. The mind is one of the most amazing things. You know, it can create. It can make plans. It can, you know, brilliant minds is the reason that, you know, somebody landed on the moon. Brilliant minds are the reason why we get medicine today. Brilliant minds on the wrong side caused the Second World War. Brilliant minds on the wrong side developed the atomic bomb. What are you using your mind for? Philippians 4 verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there's any virtue, and if there's any praiseworthiness, meditate on these things. Or do you meditate on how one day you are going to put your boss in his place? Do you meditate on what you're going to tell him and how you're going to break him down? Do you meditate on how you are going to steal your sister's money? Do you meditate on how you are going to promote your own business over somebody else's business and make sure that they go bankrupt? Are you meditating on how when you have enough money, you are going to retire on an island with, you know, all the liquor in the world, all the women in the world, all the movies in the world? What are you using your mind for? Are you using it to think of that which is true, noble, just, pure, lovely, of good report, virtuous, praiseworthiness? Colossians 2 verse Colossians 3, verse 2 to 3. Set your mind on things above and not on earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. You cannot serve God when your head is constantly full of this world. You cannot please God when you're constantly thinking of satisfying your next desire. You know, the world, just to cope, they need to be addicted to movies and alcohol and all kinds of stuff, just to get an escape from their own reality. But God's will for you is that your reality is so amazing that you don't want to escape. And how do we do it? Once again, by guarding our eyes, guarding what we are saying, guarding what we allow to come into our ears, guarding our hearts, and guarding our minds. That is why, how we create a reality that pleases God and that will be fulfilled through God. Number five, our ears. Romans 10 verse 17 says, "For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Faith comes by hearing. What do we hear? God's word. What happens if faith comes by hearing and hearing by radio? If we allow ourselves to be filled with, you know, bad jokes, negativity. It is amazing. In America, there's this whole movement. They call themselves preppers. They prepare for doomsday. They prepare for the end of the world. They've got bunkers and stacks of food for years on end. You know, if a time, this one guy literally built a house, I think it's at least 4 meters under the ground. If an atomic bomb hits anywhere within a mile radius, he will only be effective. If it's further than a mile, he won't be even affected. Somewhere they lend their ears out to fear. And they think that they can make a difference. Guess what? Our lives are in the hand of God, not in the hand of man. Anyway, where do you give your ears out? Do people tell you about how our country is doomed and how there's no hope and how this is wrong and that is wrong? Or do you allow God to speak into your word, into your ears? Faith comes by hearing. Where are you going to put your faith? In God's word, who says that he's more than enough? Or are you going to put your faith in people that's telling you that there's no hope? What do you allow to come in through your ears? Music. You know, these rap songs and metal stuff, that's just the one curse word after the other. When I was just out of school, I used to love Foo Fighters. And there was all kinds of heavy metal bands and rock bands. But if you listen to that, you become depressed. You become angry and you actually want to fight. What do you allow into your ears? As I said, rap music that constantly speaks about sleeping with everybody and describes every body part in detail. Where are you going to put your faith? But then we come to the good news. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive them their sins and heal their land. We cannot love the world and love God. We need to make a choice. We cannot serve the world and serve God. We need to make a choice. What will be your choice? Are you going to, when you step out of here, start to guard your eyes, guard your ears, guard your mouth? Be aware of what's happening in your heart. Be aware of what's happening in your mind. It's classic. They say if you surround yourself with friends, those friends, you will be where they are in 10 years. So if you surround yourself with successful people, in 10 years you will be a successful person. That's what the stats say. If you surround yourself with criminals, in 10 years you will be a criminal. Just be aware of what is happening in your heart. Be aware of what is happening in your mind. Who are you surrounding yourself with? Who are you listening to? Who are you watching for an example? Because that's where you're going. If the Bible is your example, if the Bible is what you're listening to, guess where you'll be in 10 years? If God hasn't come, a great evangelist. If God has come, heaven. Philippians 2 verse 12 says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. This is not a decision that anybody else can make for you. You need to make this decision. Work out your salvation. The only thing we need to fear is God. Not fear about what people think, not fear about where our country is going. All we need to fear is God. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Father, I want to thank you, Father, for your word. And I want to thank you, Father, that, Father, as we started off, Father, your law, your guidance, Father, is not there to spoil our fun. It is there, Father, so that we can have a life that far outweighs, far precedes anything that we can dream about. Father, I ask that, Father, this morning, Father, you come and speak to us, Father, that we will get our house in order, that we will start living like Christians, Father, that we will not just say we love you, Father, but we will show that we love you by how we act, how we spend our time, what we allow in our hearts, what we allow in our minds, what we allow before our eyes, what we allow to enter into our heads through our ears. Help us, Father, to not be, Father, just a victim of this world, Father, but to be an overcomer through Jesus, Father. How through your Son, Father, you've given us enough to overcome this world. Your grace is enough, Father, so that we can lay down the pornography. Your grace is enough, Father, so we can even obey the traffic rules. Your grace is enough, Father, that we can be faithful to our wives, that we can be faithful to our husbands, that we can break, Father, addiction to drugs, addiction to alcohol, addiction to sex, that we can live lives, Father, that is worthwhile living and not just trying to survive. In Jesus' name, amen.